Halo, halo, Sacred Icon listeners. We used to do ads for other people, but I decided, why don't we do one for ourselves? Whether you're here listening to us for the first time or you've heard every episode, I'd like to briefly tell you what we're about and how you can support us. We have been doing this podcast since 2019, and with that has come lots of changes. We started as a primarily Halo-only show, but have evolved, combat evolved, over the years to talk about a wide variety of things in the realm of nerd culture. As you can imagine, we've made numerous changes to our platforms, usernames, and emails over the years, so now is the time for me to set things right and give the Covenant back their bomb. You can join our Discord by clicking the link included on our podcast feed. You can also send us an email or a voice message at sacrediconpodcast@gmail.com. We have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/sacredicon, and we no longer use Twitter or X or whatever else the kids are calling it these days. So if you see someone who looks like us there, just know it's not us. Lastly, you can support us on patreon.com/sacredicon and receive a bevy of bonus content. We're so glad you chose us to be the voice in your ear on this particular day and hope you enjoy the episode ahead.
I want to know what you've been playing, Brian.
Well, I obviously, because of that, I haven't been playing much, and even since that, I've been reading Fellowship of the Ring more.
Oh, nice.
I've been playing games. I've just been playing. Mm. I've been reading the book, but I have dipped into Cyberpunk.
Ooh.
An hour here, an hour there over the last few weeks, and I'm just loving it, man. I liked it a lot when I originally played it when it came out at launch, but I'm liking it more than I ever have. Just the production quality and the world has so much life and the NPCs have so much life. They feel like real characters, and I'm just having a blast with it. Getting chased down by cops, getting new vehicles, doing side quests. I don't know. I mean, it's just a great time. I guess I haven't really got to do that much. Haven't got that far. I'm doing side quests and stuff, but in the main story, I just got to where you fight Matilda, which goes by Sasquatch. It's like a giant.
Yep.
I think it's a cybernetic woman. Mm-hmm. That's like, she's really big and has a sledgehammer. So
yeah, the last thing I was she's doing, a beast. So.
But man, I just love, every time Keanu Reeves pops up, I'm just like, oh, I love this guy so much. Yeah. I love Johnny Silverhand.
Yeah. He's an asshole, but he's great.
Yeah, he is. It's funny because he's an asshole, but he's got that like mundane Keanu voice. So it's like, you never feel like he's that mean. He's like,
Yeah.
He's like, shut the F up, you effing choom. And you're just like, I don't feel that bad because his voice is always kind of the same monotone level.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's John Wick right there, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a very good game and I'm really enjoying it. And I don't know. I'm interested to see when I finish it because I was playing the Resident Evil 4 DLC, which is really short, but I stopped and I started playing Cyberpunk. And then
finish the DLC?
No, because Cyberpunk came out, and I was like, oh, I'm going to dip into Cyberpunk, and then I got really hooked into that. And then the stuff with her father-in-law happened, and so then now I'm just like, okay, I'll probably focus on Cyberpunk. But then Spider-Man comes out in 4 days, but I don't know if I'll be able to do it, but I kind of feel like I'll just decide to play Cyberpunk until I'm done and then go to Spider-Man, but I'm usually not very good at that. Usually the hype gets me, and I'm like, nah, I got to play Spider-Man. But honestly, right now, like, Cyberpunk sounds more fun than Spider-Man.
Really?
So, yeah. Ooh. I mean, I don't know. I'm just more in the mood for Cyberpunk. So, but we'll see. Once it drops, you know, I mean, the reviews drop today, like we'll talk about. But once the game actually drops, the hype might get me to go, I think I want to play that instead.
For sure. I'm wondering, though, like, about Cyberpunk, what build have you gone? Have you gone a specific build yet, or are you not that far into it?
I'm such a lame RPG player because
are you just machine guns?
Well, because they redid the whole like trees and the combat and all that stuff. So I don't really know exactly what I'm going for, but I'm like going for like, I don't know, good movability, shotguns and blades, I guess I would say.
Sure.
So like,
kind of cool.
More close encounter stuff. with a lot of mobility. But honestly, when I played Cyberpunk at launch, I didn't even understand the talent and skills trees. Like, it was so poorly done in my mind. I was just like, yep, I'll just throw a point here. I don't know what's going on. But now I'm like, feels like a new game in that sense. Like, I understand what I'm doing.
Yeah, more intuitive and stuff.
Driving cars is just a blast in this game, too. Driving cars and, like, and it's funny, too, because, like, I'm not trying to be evil, But I mean, every time I drive a car, I end up running someone over, some innocent bystander, because it's just too it's just too hard not to run them over. Like, I turn a corner and I hit a sidewalk and I kill three people.
The cars seem to oversteer quite a lot in Cyberpunk, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Especially the like, even the higher up ones that are like awesome and fast and stuff, but the traction is still as shit as the slower ones.
Yeah, and the running away from cops, like the cop stuff is done way better now, like with the new update. But I kind of like this. I think most people probably wouldn't like it, but they're pretty easy to get away from still, in my opinion. But to be fair, I'm not doing egregious shit. Like, I've heard that if you just sit there and try to like snipe 1,000 people constantly, eventually it gets so hard that the Militech will get summoned and they'll just take you out. But basically what I do is I'm like, oh man, I accidentally crashed full speed into another car, or I accidentally killed three people on the sidewalk. And it's not that hard to get away from the cops. But you think murdering three people probably should be tough, but it's not.
Yeah.
I just pull into a garage off the side of the road, and then they're like, he's clear. And actually, it was really bad yesterday, because the game is still pretty glitchy. And yesterday, I was playing, and I had a bunch of cops on me, and I drove like up a hill and around a corner, and the cops were still on me, but I was like, I'm just going to do a U-turn and go back the way I came. And as I did a U-turn and started going back, the same cop that was just chasing me was like, all right, everything's clear. And then they just passed me. And then I was like, no, I'm right here. Like, I turned around. Why don't you see me?
I've seen videos where, like, people have ran into shops and the wanted level just disappears.
Yeah.
Like,
three people run into the shop. And that's the thing, is like, it's funny because, like, Cyberpunk gets this name for being, like, this most broken, horribly launched game ever. And it definitely deserves that. But I feel like the narrative's usually it's a horrible buggy game or it's fixed now. But the truth is, like, yeah, it is fixed now, but it's still just, it's a buggy game in general.
Yeah, it's kind of like three quarters of the way there, kind of thing.
Yeah, people walk through cars and walls. Every time Johnny Silverhand appears and disappears, his shadow stays on the wall for a minute after he's...
Oh, wow. Like,
stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
Buggy, but yeah. It's buggy in a way that I don't mind at this point. Where at launch, it was too much to bear.
Yeah, I'm eager to jump into it. I don't know when that'll be, but I'm interested to play like kind of a samurai, mantis blade, ninja person. You know, that can cut, like, with maybe like a little bit of emphasis on like pistols or something. Nothing more.
Yeah.
But I've seen like max tech and stuff, and it's crazy how difficult they are to kill. And I've seen like only the highest level people with like the most efficient builds be able to deal with them, which is really cool. Because obviously in lore, max tech are like, they're like the beasts that come in to destroy the people, like the cyber psychos, you know, which is dope.
I wonder if it's even possible to be good enough to withstand a constant Militech attack at the end. Like, because that's the number one, like, if you get the cops after you long enough, your maximum warning level is Militech. Like, can you get powerful enough that they can't stop you? Because I've always heard that eventually they stop you.
Well, I'm sure, like, eventually you will be stopped. But as far as I'm aware, I've seen videos where people have taken down, you know, when they drop in with four of them kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And there's, like, the sniper, the netrunner, and then there's, like, the other two, which I don't know what, I can't remember what they are. But they've been killed. I've seen them, like, be decimated, especially the sniper. The sniper's the weakest. So yeah, it can happen. It can be done. They can be taken down, but they're a beast.
Cool. What have you been playing, Joe?
Well, to be honest, because it's been so long, I've got a decent amount that I've been playing. I mean, I'm still like chipping away at Far Cry 6, but there's nothing really to say about that aside from it's just like more open world chaos. I've been playing Starfield, and as like the last sort of podcast episode we did, I've been messing around with base building, going through the quests, etc. But there's a couple of notes I've written down to kind of jog my memory on this, because again, the last time when I wrote these things for the original episode that we were going to do, it's been a long time. So bear with me here. So I've been fucking around with the base building, and as much as I enjoy it, I find it just takes a little bit, maybe too long to get into for like the rewards that you maybe get. And in some ways, like, not to be hyperbolic, but I kind of find it a rather useless corner of the game in a lot of ways. I don't know if you, like, touched upon it, but it felt like this is a corner of the game where development time could have been spent better elsewhere in my opinion, because it's not as pivotal to the plot as like Fallout 4, you know what I'm saying? And as much as I didn't like the way Fallout 4 like obviously buried that mechanic into the main story of the Minuteman, like it having a sort of offshoot kind of you've got this base building thing that is there but isn't really important is kind of just as bad in many ways to me. And it's one of those weird things where so far I've not, like, it might be my experience, I've not really found any planets worthy enough to want to settle on them. They're all a bit boring so far.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem it doesn't seem like they've made it crucial enough to be worth. There's going to be plenty of people that just have a blast building bases and having a network of resources and having NPCs fill out their stuff. And that's just going to be fun for them just because it is fun to do. It doesn't even matter what the end goal is, but it's not really crucial to the game experience, right? Like if building bases was the only way for me to like get to a whole new galaxy full of content, it would be like, well, holy shit, you have to do the base building because it leads to this huge, like really beneficial story thing or really beneficial like area to play in. But what it usually comes down to is base building is a way for you to have fun building shit and then generate resources for both money and parts for weapons and for your ship. But if you're somebody who's done a lot of the main quests, a lot of the story elements and stuff like that already, what are you trying to beef up your ship or beef up your guns for? I know plenty of people will just have a great time being like, I'm going to max out my gun, max out my ship, max out my level, make sure my character's a god.
Yeah.
But for me, the kind of game player that I am, I need to have a reason really why to do it. Like if I've already beat all the content, then I don't need to spend 30 hours on base building to just make myself better than I already was when I'd already beaten the game. You know? So I think what it really comes down to is it's just for people who get a lot of fun out of micromanaging that stuff just for the sake of it. And then I have a feeling what I'm about to say, if a developer heard, they'd be like, you have no idea what you're talking about. But I'm like, it's my mind says, well, they already had the mechanics and the base building stuff done in Creation Engine. So for the amount of extra content that it could bring to the game against the actual amount of dev work, it made more sense to include it than not to. See what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you
mean.
That's
what I'm saying. Like a developer could be like, Brian, you have no idea that it took over a year to implement base building into this game. But I'm like, but did it take over a year because you already had a lot of the work done with Fallout? Like, if you had to build it from scratch, would it have taken 3?
Yeah.
Like, what I'm trying to say is like, if it's already sitting there, maybe it was worth including rather than just leaving out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I just found the lack of purpose, not even necessarily from, like, a player progression, like, scalability sense. Like you say, in terms of, like, enhancing your levels or your power or getting resources to complete future quests, I just mean, like, what am I actually building this place for aside from just like to kind of sit in the morning with my cup of coffee and
role play, I guess.
Like I like, this is the thing, I'm like, I'll say this, I should have prefaced this, I'm not a stranger to base building and really getting involved. Like, I love Minecraft's on like my top 50 games of all time. I love games like Subnautica, which you build bases on. Like I liked the sort of Skyrim Hearthfire DLC, like stuff like that I like, but I feel like this system for me in terms of getting into it is a little bit like too much donkey work just for very little outcome. And I think the reason that is because it's a lot of like, okay, now I've got to travel to this planet to find this resource to bring it back to this. And I know there's all these like systems in place in these buildings and these facilities to like transport materials around and stuff, but like even just starting and building like the sort of towers and stuff to like walk around in and build the benches, I look at all that and I'm like, why?
You know? What would you need it to do for it to really excite you?
Honestly, I just don't like the whole like disparity between all the resources on the different planets necessarily. Like, I feel like the planets could do with more resources. Not all of them, you know? Maybe
I would like to be able to put my base on one planet and get all the resources from one planet. I know that probably sounds like a joke to a lot of RPG players, but like I would like, I don't want to have a system network of bases across different planets, especially like when you said, no hate, but the planets are so freaking boring, man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'll stick with it. I'll stick with the base building. But it's also another thing where I stream the game, okay? So, like, when I stream it, I'm in my head, and it's not like I'm trying to rush through the game, but in my head, I know for a fact that I want to get through this game so I can get onto other games. And also, I want to entertain. And the best entertaining aspect of Starfield is the quest lines, right? Like, undoubtedly. Yeah. Watching me, a little British boy, sit here building bases might be interesting to 1 out of 10 people, but not the other 9. I'll bet money on the fact that more people would want to watch the quest lines and the combat and the dialogue.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look, he's building a plant and a seat.
Yeah, and I'm, but like, and the thing with it is, like, when I'll be doing it, I'm probably going to be sitting there, like, just grunting to myself. Like, should I do that? You know, I don't want to do that for people. So that's in my head all the time, and that's totally on me. That's not on the game, but like as a player, that's just my individual sort of anecdotal experience with that mechanic.
I guess the best thing I can say about this before we move on from this topic is, I don't like base building really in pretty much any. I do love Minecraft, but like I pretty much don't enjoy building shit.
Sure.
So I played through Starfield. I played through Starfield 70 hours, had a blast, did everything I wanted, and never once felt pressured to do base building at all. Mm. And because that's the case, I'm actually pretty happy. The nicest thing I can say is I'm pretty happy that it's in the game because I know that content exists there and that many hours could be spent on it, but it didn't infringe in my enjoyment in any way. And that's what I would want. That's what I would ask for. And they delivered on that. Whereas like Fallout, it very much felt like, I can't interact with the Minutemen unless I do this base building shit. And if I don't do the base building shit, then I'm missing out on the Minutemen.
Another settlement needs your help.
Yeah. No thanks. No thanks. I really need to retry Fallout 4 because I just don't have good memories of it, really. I have mostly, like, I'm glad it's over.
Dude, I beat that game twice. I have, like, 150 hours in that game.
You're a mad lad.
Anyway, moving on from the base building. Still on Starfield, though. I've also gotten about, I would say, I've checked the quest log, not for spoilers, but just to see how many there are, halfway through the UC Vanguard quest line.
Yeah.
And I have to say, while it is strong, you know, on the level of the Crimson Fleet and stuff, I was thinking it was going to be better in a lot of ways, because a lot of people were like saying the first level, oh my God, it's like something out of Alien and all this stuff. And oh wow, I love all the characters and all that stuff. And there's this big conspiracy, right? The gist of it is there's this big conspiracy involving like really devastating aliens that are called Terramorphs that are potentially designed and programmed to attack worlds. And it definitely obviously exposes some of the way like the UCs are, you know, more shady and stuff like that. But for me, the RPG structure so far is nothing more than what is in other standard RPGs, aside from the first mission being tonally very cool. It makes me yearn for, how do I say, like, I'll redo this because I can't like formulate my thoughts very well. One of the things that's like really like interesting to me is you're walking through the introductory elements of the UC Vanguard stuff, which is like the hall and all the panels and stuff. And every time a new panel came up, I was like, dude, I want to do that. Like the Colony Wars, the attack on Londinium?
Something like that.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like in Starfield, as I was going through this, like everything that's interesting so far that's happened in the greater world has kind of already happened. Like, not to bring up Halo, but it kind of has a Halo Infinite effect. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of a shame when I was doing that because I should have been getting excited for this new quest line. But in reality, I was kind of the opposite, you know? Despite me enjoying this like slow rollout of details that didn't feel like an exposition dump. And I feel like the first mission, despite its tone, because again, everyone was hyping this up as like the second coming of Christ when it came to the quest, you know, quest like sort of not necessarily design, but quest like feel and tone and stuff. I feel like it just flags up a shit ton of problems when it comes to the way Bethesda's encounters and quest designs are. And what I mean is, like, when you land in this facility, you hear this screech and you're like, oh shit, what was that? You know? And you're like, is there something out here with me? Is there an alien? Is there this? Is there that? Can it get me? And I was like, I literally, like, on stream, I crouched and I was sneaking into the base, mm-hmm. like yeah. fucking Solid Snake, you know? But unfortunately, I just realized that this monster was just a trigger. Like, I just had to go and press a button and then the monster would come out. And then on top of that, I was just thinking, like, when I was killing the monster and everything, not only was it a bullet sponge more than an actual threat, I was just like, dude, how cool would this quest have been if it just flipped the entirety of the whole chemistry of what Bethesda has so far and, like, made this Terramorph unkillable, and I had to, like, figure out a way to do it with like no quest markers or very little quest markers. I had to craft something or a new weapon, or I had to turn a system on. I just felt like, instead of having this like cat and, you know, it could have had this cat and mouse game like Alien Isolation for just one quest, you know?
Yeah, well, and, I think you're kind of, you're boiling down, well, actually, no, I'm about to boil down what I think is kind of my main criticism of Starfield. I really like UC Vanguard Quest. I think it is good.
I do like it. It's just not mind blowing. Like,
no, it's not mind blowing. I think it was the second best quest line in the game, where the best was the main story for me. And I think if you took a list of like, I mean, I don't know, I haven't done the work on this, but like, if you took a list of like the 30 best quest lines and or 20 best quest lines in Bethesda, I feel like in Bethesda games, I feel like UC Vanguard could probably make it up there. Huh. But I think what you're describing kind of brings my main issue with Starfield up, because, and I encourage people to like really listen to what I'm saying, because it might sound like I'm hating, and I'm not. I think that Bethesda just does what Bethesda does only. They have a formula now that's tried and true that we've seen for many games, and that's how things play out in their games. And I think when you kind of talk about what you would have liked to see from this quest line, it seems like something I would see from a different developer.
Oh, 100%.
And once again, like, I hate to make the comparison, but like playing Cyberpunk right now, I feel like what you're describing is something that I could see happening in Cyberpunk. Mm. So the pro and the con here is, the pro is that for people like me and a lot of people in our community who really like Bethesda games, I come to a Bethesda game for this type of experience. But where I criticize Starfield, and I think I confuse a lot of people when I criticize Starfield, is that as a game in general, and as a general gamer who's not who's maybe not like a huge Bethesda fanboy, mm-hmm. when you look at Starfield in 2023 and you look at other games, it feels lacking in some ways. It feels like old game design. It feels kind of archaic. But I also stand by the people who say it feels like a Bethesda game, and this is what I wanted. I wanted a Bethesda game, and this is more of that great Bethesda secret sauce that I've always loved. And I agree with those people. I think it is that, and I think that I think Bethesda did a pretty darn good job at creating a new Bethesda RPG with Starfield. But if you try to remove yourself from the "oh, Bethesda does what Bethesda does, what did you expect" angle, and you just look at it as a game compared to their contemporaries, it just feels like it's a bit lacking. And I feel like I can say that while still saying I prefer a Bethesda experience. Like, I'm playing Cyberpunk right now, and despite how much I'm loving Cyberpunk and I'm talking about all of its great qualities, I know that I still enjoy my time with Starfield more. And I don't see Cyberpunk overtaking how much fun I have with Starfield. But while I'm playing Cyberpunk, I'm going, man, look how much better they did this. Look how much better they did that. Look how much this feels like a next-gen experience. This feels like something new and innovative and fun and exciting. So I think that's really hard for some people to, and I don't say this in a demeaning way, I think it's really hard for some people to grasp that I like am dogging the archaicness and the oldness and the problems with Starfield, yet I say that I still prefer Starfield.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I do prefer that Bethesda style, but like it's getting old, you know. Because I feel like when Skyrim came out, you know, Skyrim was doing so many awesome things that it was less noticeable. But now in 2023, it kind of just feels like, no, we've seen what you do, Bethesda. We've seen it multiple times, and we're seeing it again, and it's not new to us. And then we're seeing like the stuff that Witcher's doing, the stuff that Cyberpunk's doing, the stuff that I haven't played these games. Maybe even like a Assassin's Creed Valhalla or Odyssey, or maybe even like there might be things in like a Far Cry 6, like just little things. Maybe not the whole game as like a whole package,
yes,
but like
elements
where it's like improving and iterating and
and
becoming like a new experience. And it just feels like Bethesda's very much like they're selling their formula and nothing really else.
Yes,
that's it.
So yeah, it's not bothering me. It's just something that like I think part of the problem is, and I don't blame anyone for this, it's just that a lot of people in the Sacred Icon Discord and stuff, like I think Wes and Diente in particular, were really selling this quest, like that starting point of that quest, as something phenomenal, you know, like, and I think maybe I built it up in my head. Like, I remember saying again on the stream, like, oh, this, I'm gonna start this quest now. I've heard it's amazing. Yeah. And then when it hits you, it's kind of...
It probably doesn't help that it was built up to you, because like for me, like from my perspective, this is how it was for me. When I started Starfield, I thought, I saw the UC Vanguard quest line, and I thought, UC Vanguard, like in my head, I thought, that sounds like a very like space cadet kind of boring plot line. Like that's what it sounded like to me. So I was like, I'm not in a hurry. And then when I played it, it was like, oh, Terramorphs. Mm-hmm. Oh, old wars. Oh, there's, how are we going to stop the Terramorphs? And how did Terramorphs arrive here? Like, there should be no way that a Terramorph could evolve this quickly. And it's like, there's like this intrigue. So for me, my expectations were very low. So when I came in, I was like, oh, it's like this multifaceted, like, alien race. How did it evolve? What do we do to stop it? I was like, yeah, this is a lot better than I thought it would be. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, we've kind of seen this done in other works of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also through the lens of a Bethesda quest line, which they all are very... It's very kind of simple. Like, you can almost kind of guess how a Bethesda plotline is going to go, right? It's like, introduce a basic concept, show the audience that it's a little deeper than that, give them a plot twist or a character backstab, have you make a major decision, now you're the boss of this faction. Over. That's kind of how they all go.
Yeah.
Every game.
Yeah, especially Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim, Oblivion.
I think Skyrim's the worst for it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Skyrim's more accessible, but I feel like they all kind of follow that, like, you start off, it's basic, you know, plot twist, character change or character backstab, crescendo decision moment, you're the leader of the faction. And that's pretty much what Bethesda, and that's the thing is when I played Starfield, I felt like, it's crazy how much we're talking about this in the opening segment, we haven't even got to news.
Yeah, yeah,
but man. Like, when I played Starfield, and I loved the hell out of it, I mean, it's my, so far, it's my second favorite game this year behind Final Fantasy 16.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing it, I was like, oh, this is your version of Dark Brotherhood. Like, I did Crimson Fleet, and I was like, oh, this is your Dark Brotherhood.
Mm.
Now, they're not one for one, but I was like, I see the writing on the wall here, you know? Yeah. Freestar Rangers felt very much like some kind of Fallout quest.
I haven't got to them yet.
You know, and like everything kind of fits in like I've seen you do this before, Bethesda.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was okay with it because it's been 8 years since I played a full AAA, because I'm not counting Fallout 76. It's been like 8 years since I played a full Bethesda AAA game. So I was ready for this. Like, I was ready for them to give me more. So it's like, I get it when people are like, I don't know why you're criticizing it. We wanted more Bethesda. Why are you criticizing more Bethesda? I'm like, well, it's because it's so... I feel like it's so obvious to me at this point. Like, their formula is so tried and true, they're not really mixing it up. I can't think of... I think the only... Okay, you know what? I think the only thing in this game that truly threw me off my guard was the New Game Plus. Mm. That was truly innovative. And I'm not going to speak more on it here because it's spoilery, but, like, the New Game Plus for this game is innovative. No one, to my knowledge, in gaming has done what this game has done with the New Game Plus.
Yeah.
So, but if you remove the New Game Plus, to me, it's like, oh yeah, it's a Bethesda game in space. There's nothing really to surprise you here, you know?
Just the Todd in space, Todd Howard in space. Yeah. I will say though, I am still enjoying it. You know, like I haven't got like I think the last time I played it like was it must have been over a week ago now because I just haven't got around to playing it. And I am enjoying it. You know, like yeah. I say all that stuff because. I say it because the what is there is really good. Like, I enjoy the universe. I enjoy the combat. It's the best shooting mechanics, like, Bethesda have done ever. I enjoy the factions. I enjoy, for the most part, all the planets. The cities are cool. The narrative's cool. The writing's good, etc., etc. It's just that there's little things like that. And maybe it's me being hypercritical, which I totally accept, where I just see it and I'm like, damn, like those, like for me, those are the moments where it's like, if you just add that little twist where it's like, oh shit, like the, like prime example, right? It's a complete tangent, but like Gears of War, the Berserker section back in the day, that was like, whoa, because like up until that point, it was like, let's just shoot loads of people. It was a shooting gallery cover, da-da-da-da. And then the Berserker was like, oh fuck, is this like an hour horror game? Those are the moments that are like the icing on the cake. You know what I'm saying? That everyone remembers certain things for.
There's nothing. And, there's nothing in Starfield that really throws you out of the gameplay loop you expect. You know, like like, I know I have these quest lines. I know that if I warp into a galaxy, there's going to be some random ship that says, "Oh, I'm Grandma. Do you want to come on my ship and get some cookies?" Like that's cool. Like I like those moments that are unexpected. But the unexpected moments in Bethesda games are expected. Like when you play a Bethesda game, you expect something unexpected to happen in your random travels. So, like, even the unexpected has become something I expect to happen, you know? Yeah. Where the new game plus, I didn't expect that. You know, it's like, whoa, okay.
Okay.
You know, this is cool. Yeah.
So that may be something I need to hold out on then.
And I'll say for, like, for me, at least personally, like, to play Devil's Advocate, when I played Starfield, like, when I was in the thick of it, it was hard for me to put the game down. I didn't want to get off. I had so much I wanted to do. Cyberpunk, it's much easier for me to go... To put it down. I don't know. And that's not a criticism against Cyberpunk. It's more of a pro for a positive for Starfield. Because Cyberpunk, I just kind of felt like I can do a quest, put it down, come back later. But something about Starfield made me want to like, ooh, I want to get my ship. Ooh, I want to get my ship built up. I want to get that companion quest done. Oh, like, oh, I need more money for this thing. Like, so it something about Starfield just pulled me in.
It plays into that gamification. Yeah, Starfield does do a good job of keeping you, like, as long as you don't play by the rules and do what I did on my first couple of sessions where he's wandering off onto another planet and just doing nothing. Starfield does a really good job of like gamifying every single one of its systems. It kind of reminds me, again, another tangent, but it kind of reminds me of like Days Gone. Days Gone's like that, where like everything you do in that game, have you played Days Gone?
No, but I know about it. I know.
Yeah. Everything you do in that game is like a progression system. The bikes, the weapons, the obviously everything on the map. But by the end of Days Gone, personally, I don't know if I feel like this when I finished Starfield, is I just felt like I didn't want to play another game ever again because everything is gamified. You know, everything has a progression thing. Everything has like a checkbox.
I think it's weird too because like it's weird. I have such big criticisms against Bethesda, but like the criticisms I have, like it's what they're lacking that makes their games almost special to me. Because like when I jump over to Cyberpunk, and the reason that I'm being so comparative with Cyberpunk is it's two things. One, the games came out, Starfield and Cyberpunk 2.0 expansion came out right next to each other, and then they're both AAA first person sci-fi RPGs, so they're similar in that vein. But like when I go over to Cyberpunk, I care about Johnny Silverhand and Pan Am and Judy and Evelyn Parker. Like these are real characters with real motivations and personalities. And like, to me, I'm like, I care about these characters because they're like real people. And when I go to Starfield, I'm like, none of these people are real people to me. They're just, and I said this, I'm repeating myself. I said this other places. They're just a conduit to deliver interesting dialogue, decision making, and quests. But and I feel like there's people out there who'd be like, oh well, you know, Sarah was really cool, Sarah Morgan, or maybe they'll go like, remember Lucy and LeChance? Even I've said that before. Remember Lucy and LeChance and the Dark Brotherhood? But the thing is, I've never really felt attachment to any character in any Bethesda game ever. When I call out a character like Cicero from Skyrim or Lucy and LeChance or Sarah Morgan, it's more because of what kind of moment their character delivered to me. Mm. Like, spoilers for Dark Brotherhood from Oblivion in 2006 or whatever, but like...
You've had plenty of time.
Yeah. Lucien Lechance, I don't talk about that character because he was such a great character with a great depth of personality and history. I talk about Lucien Lechance because his quest line led to him getting accused of doing something he didn't do and then being filleted alive.
Mm.
So, like, Lucien Lechance to me is memorable because of the quest line that I experienced through his character.
Yeah.
It really wasn't his character. Like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, you know, Ellie, Joel, Kratos, and Lucien? No, I would never do that, you know, because none of the Bethesda characters are really... They're really not good for their character. They're good for how they immerse you in this world, and they deliver this dialogue. They let you be the master of the world. They let you be the guy who makes the decisions, the guy who persuades, the guy who pisses them off or makes them happy. Mm. But they're not really characters so much. So it's weird that, like, I go into Cyberpunk and I'm like, oh, here's these real characters, these memorable characters. Like, I would get a Funko. I used to have one. I'd get a Funko of Johnny Silverhand.
Mm.
I wouldn't get a Funko of Sarah Morgan. I just, no. She's nothing to me, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I come back to Starfield and, like, I'm more addicted to playing Starfield than I am Cyberpunk. Yes. So, like you said, like, it's more gamey.
Yeah.
And it makes it more fun for me personally to play Starfield. But, like, it's even like Starfield's story, right? Like, if somebody said to me, Starfield has a good story, I'm not sure I would know how to respond to them, because I don't think it's fair to say Starfield has a bad story. That doesn't sound right to me. But I also don't think it's fair to say it has a good one, because I'm like, well, what is the story of Starfield? Is it the main quest? Okay. Well, that's only one slice of the game.
Mm.
And I would argue that, like, the main quest of Starfield on a writing and, like, memorable, like, world-building type level, it's not even close to Cyberpunk's to me. Like, Cyberpunk's... Ooh,
that's really painful to hear, because I've still got to play it.
yeah, but think about The Witcher, right? Like, The Witcher, the story of The Witcher is so good.
Peak, you know? Fantasy writing. I don't even care.
Yeah, but, like, because it's, like CD Projekt Red tries to tell stories with characters like a book, you know, yes. Like a book.
Yeah.
But Bethesda's, like, they try to create a world,
sandbox.
Immerse you in it, and make you feel like you are the decision maker and the one dictating the world.
Mm.
And Bethesda does that so well. I would say better than CD Projekt Red.
Yes,
but it's,
I would agree.
The fact that CD Projekt Red does their own version of that not as well, but with far superior characters, far superior storytelling.
Mm.
You know, you can see how someone, like, if you're a Bethesda head, you're like, oh man, Starfield's awesome. It's more of that great Bethesda goodness in a sci-fi game. But if you're someone who's, like, playing games for the story and the characters, Starfield feels, like, really lacking, you know? Like, it feels like, you know, but I didn't come to that for Starfield and
characters. No.
I didn't come to Starfield for the characters and story, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. We're going in circles here, but you get it. You agree, it feels
Yeah, I totally get it. And I don't want to, like, go more on Starfield than we already have, but I forgot to also, like, write down and mention, and I nearly forgot. I finished Barrett's questline as well.
It's bad.
It's pretty shit. Right, like, I don't want to spoil it because we're still, like, we're not far off the, obviously, out of the release of Starfield.
I mean, you hand him a bunch of money and you talk to a bunch of NPCs and it's over.
Yeah, it's like, I thought Sarah Morgan's was, like, pretty okay, like, pretty good. Like, I thought, like, okay, it's cool.
Sarah Morgan's, if that was the worst one, then I would have been like, wow, these are great. Like, I thought Sarah Morgan's was, like, the barrier, like, the entry level.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, it's good. And then I did Barrett's, which sucked. I don't know. I actually thought Andreja's was not very good, but I've heard people say it's great, but I thought it was... Have you done that one?
I haven't done any. I've just done Barrett, so I'm working my way through them. So I've done Sarah. I'll do... Is it... What's it? Samco? Samco's next?
Samco, yeah. Well, yeah, he died for me, so I couldn't do his.
Oh, no. But, what a shame.
But...
Another robot dead. Okay, so we've obviously talked about like our games for ages, and I just want to touch on one more game that I am playing, just because of it's kind of relevant to a game that recently released, and it's I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. I downloaded it on a whim just because I didn't want to fork out the money to buy Mirage, because I knew I wouldn't get around to playing it while obviously Spider-Man's out. I've got Starfield. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of breezing through it quick, I'm slowly running for the platinum on the PlayStation 5. And I'm really enjoying it. Like, I think the main character, Connor, he's a Native American, and he's obviously not his mother tongue, he's obviously not, English. He's a bit wooden, but I think he's meant to be wooden. He's incredibly monotone. And I think that, like, obviously the design decision, I think, behind it is that, like, he's pronouncing his words like really intently when he speaks English, because when he speaks his Native American tongue, he is very fluent with the other characters, and I like that, but it also doesn't make for very interesting and fun listening as a player, because he's like, I will have my revenge, and it's like, oh dude, like oh, don't
people dog Assassin's Creed 3 as one of the bad ones a lot?
It's not the strongest. It has really strong elements. The setting is really strong. There's like a home improvement, home base. It's called Homestead. That's the word. Homestead, where you like, you know, you sort of like allow people to live on your land, and you can like work together and build like things and get crafting stuff and trade and all that stuff. And that's really good. It obviously introduced like the pirate mechanics that was later massively expanded in Black Flag. So you've got to give it some credit for that. But yeah, it's one of the weaker ones. A lot of people didn't connect with the story. A lot of people didn't connect with the characters, etc., etc. And I can understand why. It's a game that came out when I was like, I don't know when it came out. Like, it must have been, like early 2010s, maybe. Yeah. I think. And it was good, and I always loved it. But obviously, that nostalgia is what brings me back. It's that beautiful nostalgia. And I've always had a soft spot for Assassin's Creed. But yeah, the setting's great. I love the mechanics. You know, like, they added like tree climbing and stuff in this one over like just the buildings and stuff. And you can stalk people, and you've got like this rope dart thing, which is awesome. You can like throw it into people below you and like drag them up. It's like such a badass mechanic.
This may seem like a weird take, Joe, but. So I got Assassin's Creed 1 when it came out in 2007.
The proof of concept game.
Yeah, I got that. It didn't really sell me. I was like, I had some fun, but I got bored pretty quick. And then Assassin's Creed 2 came out. I didn't buy it, but my friends did, and I watched them play it, and I was like, this looks really good. Like, this looks awesome. So I had it. I had the series in my back pocket as like, this is a series I'm going to get to eventually. But This might seem like a weird thing for people, but what made me decide to just never bother with Assassin's Creed, to just never play them, is that they quit the Desmond storyline.
Mm.
And for me, it was like Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelation 3, and I was like, this is cool. Like, I'm going to get around to being an Assassin's Creed fan. I'm going to play these. But then after 3, fans started telling me, oh yeah, the Desmond thing's over with.
Yes.
He died. It's done. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? That can't be. And they're like, yeah, it's done. I'm like, okay. And then like, as the years went on, games came out and it was like, no, that's over with. And for me, I'm not really interested in playing the not Desmond stuff. I don't know, but that's kind of a weird take. I think most people don't care about the Desmond stuff, but
I have grown on the futuristic Abstergo, ESO stuff, since like when I was younger, when I played it, I just played for the historical thing. And that is like, 80% of why I care about Assassin's Creed. Like, even if they took away the history stuff, the futuristic stuff, and they took away like the precursor stuff, I wouldn't care. Like, in all honesty, and they've mostly, as far as I'm aware, they did it with Origins quite a lot, I think, and 4 especially, because obviously they was listening to the feedback that people didn't like Desmond because he is a boring character. They didn't like the futuristic stuff. They just wanted more of the history stuff. So they kind of, with Black Flag, they just kind of mostly stripped away that. Like, I think.
Yeah.
Black Flag, you can pretty much never leave the Animus to go into the history, to historical place, you know, as Edward Kenway. And they just got rid of it, essentially, for the most
part. Well, essentially what Assassin's Creed has become is a title that they can just use to set third-person action games in different points in history.
Yes.
It's less of a main narrative now. It's genius for money, though, because it's like Call of Duty. It's like, Call of Duty Ghosts, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Black Ops. Just, they can do that now. And I know Mirage is supposed to be like a return to form to mixed results. I've heard people say pretty good things about it, but also some negatives. But Assassin's Creed 3 was from a simpler time.